This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab your coffee and join Marlena Curtis right now for Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between with MK Spices here on Access Radio Taranaki.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa, nō mai haere mai. I'm Marlena Curtis from Marlena's Kitchen, introducing MK Spice. They're rather nice. So I'm in the studio today, Access Radio, Taranaki, with Julia. Now, I'm not going to pronounce her last name. She's going to do that herself. It's a wonderful last name, and most of you who know me will know that I do not like mispronouncing names, and I don't have a lifetime to try and pronounce it correctly. So, Julia, what's your last name?
Kua Rindawa.
Now, you were just explaining that to me off air. Can you just give the viewers some idea where that stems from and why the name is double-barreled, but it's still from the same person?
So in Sikhism, you have either the boys go with Singh and the girls go with Kaur. Rindawa is my husband's family name, which I decided to go so that if we had a son, I could go Singh Rindawa and still have the same last name, although we ended up having a son and I chose not to hyphen his.
It's funny, isn't it? Stuck
myself with a long name instead.
It's funny you should say that, because we discussed with my eldest daughter, my son is called Jazz Jamiroquai, which was my favourite band at the time. And she said, well, then we can shorten his name to JJ. Did he ever get called JJ? Of course not, because Jazz is a very short name, isn't it? How are you, you know, how do you shorten that? So like you, I did that whole process and then we didn't even end up calling him JJ. We just called him Jazz. So we have these many things in our minds, but when it comes to the child itself, and also the child itself, you look at the child and go, we'll just stick with where we're going. Now, Julia, I met you at Piccolo Morso, one of my favourite coffee places, and also a bakery. Now, it used to be like a coffee, more of a restaurant, and now it's more of a bakery. You've combined two businesses to one. My first question to you, though, is what's your favourite coffee?
It changes on the daily. Like, I'll either have a flat white or a long black or a vanilla latte. So it's really all over the place. And we use Encafé's Java beans, which are really nice, smooth and rich blend.
And I have to say, did you say the word average?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes?
No.
No, I was going to say, because it's far, So people who listen to my show, they normally sit down with a cup of coffee, relax, or a cup of tea, any hot drink, but usually I say coffee is so wonderful, it brings so many people together. I have to say, I've been coming to Piccolo Morso to get my coffee on my way through to my friend. I buy two, so I buy one for her as well. And that's Leslie Skipper, bless her cotton socks. Now, what I love about the coffee is that each barista that you've had in there, it's the same standard. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because with all due respect, you could be using the best of the best of the best of the best, which to me you are, because of how it tastes, but it's the barista that makes the coffee. If they make it with love, it's a huge difference. Because I've had coffee, the same type of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Tastes totally different.
There you go. And I'm smiling so wide because you have an array of different coffees that you enjoy, which is absolutely fantastic. You don't stick to this one. But then you are spoiled, aren't you? Because it's right there. I think I would be like a drunken sailor if I went.
I was drinking a lot of coffee. And now I think I've had two coffees in the last 6 weeks because I'm trying to drink less.
Oh.
Because I was drinking like 3 to 5 a day. So I'm like, no, stop.
Is that a lot?
maybe not. I don't know. Sometimes it was more. Some of the time it was an emotional support coffee and it would follow me around the bakery and all day and not get drunk.
Well, in actual fact, your double shot is more like a quadruple shot. I was quite blown away. Even though it's strong, it's smooth. It's just so smooth. And I would bath in it. I mean, it's just, you just could drink. You kind of like have to cut yourself off. Yeah, and usually now, because like you, I sort of stopped drinking as much as I was before. I still go out and enjoy with people. But with really good coffee, you don't need that much. And with really good coffee, you can actually have, I don't know whether you've got, funny enough, because you're called Piccolo Morso, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Piccolo coffees that are now out?
Yeah, they're like the four. We do piccolos as well in the little 4 ounce cups.
Yeah, because the piccolo, people get confused with piccolo and a macchiato. A macchiato is something totally different to a piccolo. Piccolo is not a macchiato. No. Just putting it out there so people don't get jumped down on top of me. I know my coffee and I love my coffee, so I know what's what because I've been everywhere, all over the world. Well, that's a lie, but don't tell everybody. So at the moment in one country, do you know what they've done? Instead of giving you a double shot, because you know some places, most places in New Zealand give you a double shot, you have to ask for a single if you do not want it strong, right? But some places overseas, mentioning no countries, they're now giving you half a shot of coffee. So you don't even get a full shot, much less a double shot. Because I said, this tastes like a bucket of milk. What is this? And they said, oh, do you need some more in there? I said, just show me how much the espresso is that you're putting in. I said, that's half a shot, right? I said, because I can see. I said, just put what you're supposed to be putting in there and let's move on. And they're charging you more. So they're giving you less and charging you more. Now, I understand everybody's trying to bounce back from COVID. And it's going to take years. Now, people don't understand who are not in business that if you've had 2 to 3 years of on, off, to make that money back is pretty much almost impossible unless you're going to charge people 5 times the amount each time they come in to make that money back. That's the first thing. So second of all, I'd like to thank you, first of all, for raising the next generation. Yes. People think it's easy. It is not. So thank you very much for that, for being a mum. And then secondly, thank you for bringing to us a bakery of top class. It's award-winning, people, if you did not know that. Piccolo Morso Fitzroy is award-winning. The coffee, to me, how they make it is absolutely fabulous. It's stunning. So I only really go to 3 places, 4, to have my coffee. And I don't have to ask them, can you do this, can you do that, can you do the other, because it's done. And I can go in and know I'm going to get a coffee that I enjoy. It's not given to us. So it's so wonderful when you find the place you go to. And also, I have to say thank you to all your staff. Thank you, staff at Piccolo Morso. You're amazing. Because when you go in, they're smiling, which means you must treat your staff really well. So my question to you is, because we're going to stay around coffee because that's your area, what made you go into the coffee bakery industry? Was that something from your past? Was it passed down to you? How did you get, because you're only young, I'm sure I've got handbags older than you, and I know I'm young myself. I've probably got those bags from my mum. Sorry. So what made you go into this industry? Because it's, and thank you.
I've grown up in the industry, and then my husband's also a chef, so it was kind of natural for us to stay in it. When I actually did my apprenticeship at Piccolo Morso, finished it there about 10 years ago nearly, and then we went away for a few years and came back and bought it and gave it a new lease and of life, and you know, did all the renovations and brightened it up. It's been there, the bakery's been there for like about 18 years, since 2008. So, you know, it was about time to give it a little bit more love and, yeah, see how far we can take it. I think with our staff and stuff, it's because we really enjoy training. So we don't keep school kids off the coffee machine. It's kind of the opposite what a lot of people would think. With our coffees being so consistent is because we have trained baristas. We train all of our staff to make good coffee right from the start, even if they're at school, even if they're 13. I mean, our son's been learning since he was 2, so he loves going in there and getting on the machine as well when he can. He's 4 now, but yeah, it's just really teaching them, and we get our coffee rep Pete to come in, and he trains them further once we've already done the initial stages, and yeah, he comes in as much as we want him to.
That is amazing. So that's why it's so consistent. And I think a lot of people drop the ball when they open up a cafe or a restaurant. They don't realise that baristas, every single one of them needs training. Every single staff member should know how to use a machine, because if somebody's off sick or something, it's really not rocket science, is it?
No.
But there is a science behind it to get it right, because I know that you can make hot coffee. If I can have a hot piccolo, I can have a hot coffee. Also, to dispel some of the myths about how hot you can heat the milk till it burns. Explain some of that to us, please.
I think we take our coffees to about the 65 degree where it's drinkable but not cold, because no one likes to get a cold coffee, but also no one wants to burn their mouth. So we do have that kind of...
Sorry, I made a laugh because I said, oh, I'd like to have my mouth burnt. Sorry,
well,
go on,
we
Julia.
Do that on request. We do that on request.
Because I ask. Sorry,
yeah,
Julia,
so we have our standard of it being, you know, a nice hot but drinkable temperature. And then if people ask for it to go hotter, we just take it that little bit and you can kind of hear the milk. So when the sound changes, that's when we stop. With our new shop, and it's all insulated and everything, and we found that it traps the humidity, which ruins our thermometers. So we've actually really gotten into touch training. So we don't always use the thermometers because we found that they were getting out of calibration way too quickly. And I can actually teach people, and it's surprisingly consistent. I was very scared to move to that, but no, it's actually a lot easier to teach than you first think. Everyone gets their own, you know, how long when it's getting feeling hot. You know, for me, it's four seconds longer than when I feel like it's hot on my hand. Then everyone sort of has their own little one, but we can get a very consistent coffee from that. So we don't like it to boil if we are doing an extra hot coffee, because that will ruin the milk. But you can take it pretty hot as long as you listen to the milk.
There you go. So those of you who didn't know, there's different ways of perfection, because that's what I look for when I go for coffee. I want perfection, as close to it.
See, with us, I think that's one thing that we really strive to do is make coffees how our customers want. It's not our way, take it or leave it. If the customer asks for it a specific way, we'll do it that way. With our iced coffees, there's the option to do it over ice or ice cream, and then there's the option to add cream or no cream. Rather than just a one set way of doing it, we can make it how our customers want it, and it can be individualized to every customer.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is that as a consumer, you need to vocalize what you want. Unfortunately, every single establishment you go to in every single country does everything differently because they do it their way. So it's so wonderful to hear and refreshing to hear that you will do it our way. So if I came in there and I asked a question, how do you do iced coffee? You'll say, how would you like it? And then I would just proceed. Some places just say, oh, we just do it over ice. At least I know. But yeah. If you go in and you don't ask and you get something you don't want, that's really that's down to you. That's not a them. That's a you, because you haven't asked enough questions. And that's it. And people think, oh, well, it's just coffee. Yes, it's not just coffee, though, is it? It's everything in between. And that's what I love about it. And what Julia's explaining to us today is that they train all their baristas and they're all trained in a certain way. That's why there's consistency. That's why they move so fast as well. Because I've been to some places and I really thought I was on a vacation, but it took so long, you know? You go into the, and it's very busy too, and they don't get flat. Piccolo Morso, Fitzroy. If you're going through, or if you're not going through, go out and support true local artisan providers. This has been built from the ground up. You heard Julia say before, it's been there for 18 years. They have revamped it, and it is revamped. Yesterday I went out there, as I was going out to see my friend, and I went in there and I saw little fairies. She was a fairy?
Yes.
She was a fairy, and she was doing little face painting. Now, I didn't know that they did that there, so that was something new for me to see. What was wonderful about that, also I saw someone else who used to work in a shop who used to serve me so well with her daughter, and it was fantastic, and everybody was so happy. And I don't know about you, but I love seeing children happy, because that's how they're supposed to be. Usually, they're always very, very happy. What else do they have to do? You just feed them and they're happy, and you know, you play with them and you make them feel secure. They're happy. What gave you the idea to do the fairy thing?
Face painting. So yeah. We've been doing that randomly throughout the years since we bought the business. Started for our son's birthday and stuff, and then for Piccolo Morso's 15th birthday, and then we did it every Monday of the school holidays over Christmas, and it was really well. So we're kind of continuing on that. Mondays on a school holiday, we're going to pretty much, I said to her yesterday actually, I said, we should just pre-book you in for all Mondays and school holidays. So yeah, most chances will be fairy face painting on Mondays in any school holidays.
I think that's fantastic.
I mean, we bought the bakery when our son was 3 months old. So that's, I think, really, it's always been a pretty kid-friendly business anyway, like even since I used to work there 10 years ago. I mean, the previous owner's kids grew up in the bakery as well. So we've just kind of, when we've needed something for our son, because it's handy when we're there with him, it's like, well, our customers will find that handy too. So that's why we've got the kids' playroom, that's why we've got the toys, things to keep them entertained, space for them to yell as much as they want, and it's not really going to bother anyone.
No, it didn't actually. You know, when you've had children and they're no longer in your face, you think that other people's children are going to... How can I explain it? So I went in yesterday and I did not know it was going. The fairy thing was going on. Had I known, would I have gone in? Yes, because I'm nosy. However, there wasn't hardly any noise. It's just laughter. That's the first thing. I don't know anybody who doesn't like laughter. And the second thing is that it didn't deter or make a negative response to the barista or the person who was serving you. The speed was still there. I mean, I'm slow because I'm going, oh, there's so much to choose from, because you have to understand, not only are they award-winning with coffee, they're award-winning with their baking. Now, I know you have award-winning pies. Let me just hop onto that. Which are your award-winning pies? I know there's one in particular.
The main one that's got the most is our vegan korma. That's got a couple of golds, a fifth place, and the fifth place was in the Bakel Supreme one, and then the golds are in the vegan competitions, and it also won Supreme in the vegan. And then we've got our vegan butter chicken that won gold. Our sausage rolls were voted best in Taranaki, so there's a few.
Yeah, I was going to say, because butter chicken, I've tried a few butter chicken pies. I've said yours is one of the best. It falls down because they don't, for some strange reason, I'm not too sure what's going on. But people don't understand, when you make a pie, the filling should taste as if it's not in a pie. That's the secret. And I think a lot of places don't understand how to get the variations going through. I know we're working on a collaboration, and we'll continue working on that collaboration because both of us are very busy, but we will get there. Being an artisan award winner is huge, because usually the people that are small as us, and I say small as us, and I think true artisan people, it's, you don't usually show up on the scale. So once you are awarded, that's huge. So congratulations. Thanks. I think people need to make a big song and dance about that, because people who don't understand the award systems, it's rigorous, actually. And the judges are chosen, and they do test everything. So from the pastry, the crust, the crumb, everything.
Yeah. And our craziest one was probably the custard square that we won that one, Best in New Zealand for. That competition, we had to leave New Plymouth by 7 o'clock to get to Tauranga in time. And I didn't start making this until 1 a.m. and I was hoping it was going to set in time. And it did. making it. And then we drove it over there and I finished it off in the back of the car, like doing all the decoration and the passion fruit, because I didn't want it to spill when we were driving and stuff. But I mean, little details like that, I think, really contribute to getting awards, like just paying attention to every little detail. I was doing the, when I piped my border on the custard squares, I piped them on the scales. So my two custard squares that I entered in the competition were 1 gram apart, because the competition said identical. So they were 1 gram apart in weight, which I think probably contributed to it as well.
See, and that's the thing, is people don't pay attention to detail. And I think that when you go, you started, as you said, you 1 o'clock in the morning, as fresh as you can get. You know, I worked on a stand over in Australia. It was so funny. It was for a bread company. They're huge in Australia. And people ask me, oh, did you get up and make the bread in the morning? I'm like, yes. Yes, I did. I said, oh, it's a good job. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know how long it takes to make bread? Do I look like I was standing on the stand and making bread? But in any event, it takes a long time. When people make their bread at home, either with a bread maker or without a bread maker, it's a hit and miss, basically. It's hit and miss. when you go into Piccolo Morso, everything you get is not hit and miss because they've done all those challenges for you. That's why they're so busy. That's why when you go in and 5,000 people follow you in, but you do get out quickly. What sets them apart from other places, I would say, I think you are geniuses in terms of bringing the bakery and the coffee together in one place. You have done so much in there to make it, if people want to have a quick sit down, they can, or if they want to sit and wait for their coffee, they can. If they want to come in and get out, they can. You are continually thinking of new ideas. You're continually thinking of new flavors. You are continually collaborating with people like myself. And I think that's what sets you apart, and that's what's going to continue to make you be at the top of your game, because you don't take anything for granted. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, a lot of bakeries, especially ones that had older bakeries like ours, when coffee wasn't as big as it is now, they've got coffee because, oh, they have to have coffee, so they've got it there. And it just kind of takes a backseat, whereas we've, like, really made it part of it too. A lot of people do come in just for coffee. We even get Ubers for just, we've got a few regular customers that Uber one coffee nearly daily to themselves from there.
See, that's what I was saying, so I wasn't wrong. We've come into the end of the show. Julie, I would like to thank you so much once again for being a mum. I mean, that's one of the it's the hardest job. I'm just going to say it. It's the hardest job ever. And then also running a successful business. You are a true creator, you and your husband. I have to thank your husband as well, because you're partners within this together. And thank you so much for servicing our community. You have a huge community heart. You're always doing things for the community. And I just wanted to bring you on here to publicly thank you. So thank you so much. I'm going to say kakatiano to everyone out there. Hope you enjoyed your coffee whilst you were listening. Julia, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Ka kite.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.